One of the greatest attributes of our God, the great Jehovah, the creator of the universe, is that he communicates with us. That's one of the greatest things that I love about my relationship with God, is that he communicates. I'm not out in the dark. He's not like many of the gods of other religions or the gods spoken of by Paul as being made of wood or stone or metal. Our God is personal. And we come to know that and trust in him in direct correlation to our relationship with him. Let me say that again. We come to know that God is personal in direct correlation to our relationship with him. We use terms in theology such as general revelation and special revelation to describe God's voice. We talk about his outer voice and this inner voice that we hear or we feel God speaking to us and the way he reveals himself to us. But we know for sure that God is personal and the Lord speaks. Paul wrote to the Romans, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. In other words, this was general or natural revelation to all people, so that all people could see there's something here that I can't create. Someone created it. Who is that someone? You see, trying to draw them to God. But this general revelation of creation in the natural revelation shows us or reveals to us who God is and what he can do. Oftentimes people say to me, I wish God spoke to me like he speaks to you. And my response is not that God speaks differently to each of us, but that each of us hears and understands differently God's speaking. Job 33 tells us God does speak. He speaks now one way and now another, though we may not perceive it. Even though he speaks in different ways to us, the key here is hearing him and understanding him. And one of the problems with hearing God is that we have selective hearing. You know, we pray to God, all of a sudden we come into this communication with God, and we're praying to God, and we're dumping all this stuff on him. Okay, thanks, God, and we go on our way. We don't take time to hear because, frankly, sometimes we don't want to hear what God has to say to us. Or other times we don't believe what he has to say to us in the times that he speaks to us. And I'm going to talk about that here as we go along. But we pick bits and pieces out and then try to say, it's God speaking to me, you see. But the key here is that the Lord speaks. We're learning about the characteristics of God, the attributes of God, as we go along in this series, which, frankly, I didn't have a clue this was what it was going to be about when we started. God led me to 1 Samuel, spoke to me about starting in 1 Samuel, and as we go along, all of a sudden it becomes evident we're learning about the attributes and the characteristics of our personal God, see. In my own personal experience in pastoral ministry, in the fall of 1999, you know, back in the dark ages, I was teaching Sunday school at our church that I was a member at. And during that time, I had a special friend there who was a very strong prayer. And he would spend a lot of time in prayer with God. And he came to me one day and he said that God revealed to him in his prayer time that I was going to be in pastoral ministry and have a ministry. You see, and I thought, yeah, well, gosh, I know me. Why would God pick somebody like me? And I said, well, that's fine. Okay. And I let it go. He came to me a second time a week or so later and told me the same thing. And I said, well, then if that's so, why isn't God telling me? Why isn't God telling me this? You see, that this is what God wants out of my life. So as I prayed about it and prayed about it, things started happening in my life. God started revealing himself to me. All right, he started speaking to me in dreams about things. So I went to the Bible to see, is this really the way God speaks? And we read a lot about God speaking to people in dreams. So I thought, yeah, this is real. I need to listen up a little bit. And as I kept praying about it, things were happening, dreams were coming. God was revealing things to me about people that had not happened yet. So I would go and share with those people saying, you know, I think you need to know about these kind of things. And Lo and behold, as time would pass, these things would happen. It was the most awesome thing I ever experienced in my life. And that later in that fall, I had a dream one night about a very special person that I had become acquainted with. But she had died. And she came to me in a dream. And she spoke to me in this dream in a special way that I knew was different than anything else had ever happened in my life. I knew God was trying to say something to me at this point. He was trying to reveal something to me, but I couldn't understand what it was. So I went down to our church and I walked up the aisle to the altar. I took my shoes off and I knelt and I prayed, God, I don't know what it is you're trying to tell me or what it is you want me to do, but I want to know because I don't want to embarrass myself and disgrace you. Please reveal it to me, Lord. Well, that was like opening the floodgates, and God just poured it out for weeks and weeks and weeks, and still is today. But there's a key here I'm going to talk about in a little bit in all of this journey. And as I went along, God continued to reveal things to me and still does to this day. Before I even knew I was coming to Elamsport, God revealed to me in a dream something about a valley of horses. Wow, what do we live in? We live in a valley of horses, don't we? And lo and behold, it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 months. And next thing you knew, I was being called to come to Elamsport in a valley of horses. Other times I began to pursue being a lay speaker. And as I would stand up front in the service with my knees knocking, getting ready to speak, I was praying, oh, just be with me, just be with me, just be with me. And all of a sudden I would hear a voice, an audible voice. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you always. To the point I would turn around and there would be no one there, but I realized who it was. The still small voice of God telling me to comfort me and strengthen me. I could go on and on. It's awesome that we have a God that speaks to us. This isn't about me. It's a God who doesn't just create us and let us go. He's in communication with us all the time. And as we continue our story here in 1 Samuel, one thing we can completely and clearly see is that God is communicating to his people as he works in the lives of Hannah and Samuel, Eli, as well as his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, probably in Hannah's husband, Elkanah, and his other wife, Peninnah. God's speaking to all of them through what's going on. By the time we get to the third chapter in 1 Samuel, Hannah's story's over. We think, wow, she was pretty special. You told us a couple weeks ago, Pastor Mike, that she had this strong faith and God remembered her. He honored her faith and she had a son. But you see, the story continues. God continues. She was faithful. She was committed. She was prayerful. She was trusting and the Lord remembered her. He honored that faith. See, she had a son, Samuel, and she praised God for his strength and the strength that he gave her. And we talked about the Lord strengthens in chapter 2. You find her song. How did he speak to her? How did he speak to Hannah? First of all, through answered prayer. She prayed and her prayers were answered. Secondly, the physical manifestation of that child in her hands was a revelation of God and his providence and presence. How did he speak to all the others involved in the story at that point? Well, there was a song in chapter 2 about her witness. She prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord. She talks about the Lord giving her strength. Now, wait a minute. This is the God that it says closed up her womb. Now she's praising him because he gave her strength. Yes, because she realized that he did not let her suffer forever, that he redeemed her and took hold of her and provided for her and restored her in her community. And her relationship with him was strengthened, and she praised God for that. So we see her song of witness that everyone else would have experienced and seen. The priesthood at Shiloh, especially Eli and his sons, had become corrupt in chapter 2. God stepped in and he said, not anymore. He announced through the man of God that Eli's priestly line would be removed, that God would make things right. We talked about the Lord is just. The Lord makes things right. When things seem like they're not right, they're unfair, God steps in and makes them right sooner or later. How did the Lord speak to Eli and his sons? He sent a person. a spokesperson, and he took away their position. I want you to think about this. The next time something's happening in your life that's not very pleasant, he took their position away. They were priests, and they were promised that they would be in the priestly line. And God said, nope, not the way you're acting, no way. And he removed them from their position. In our text today, we turn to Samuel once again, and we see that the Lord continues to speak in the story. First of all, our first line of chapter 3, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. The fourth time it mentions what Samuel is doing. In chapter 2, it says, Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Secondly, it tells us the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Thirdly, it says the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. And in chapter 3, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Notice what Samuel's doing. He's staying faithful to the Lord in serving the Lord. And this is crucial. Faithful in serving the Lord. It tells us in those days the word of the Lord was rare and there weren't many visions. There were not very many special revelations. One night, it tells us Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak, was lying down in his usual place. Samuel was lying down in the tabernacle or the temple where the ark of God was, the very presence of God. And something amazing happened. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel says, here I am. He ran to Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. So he went back and lay down again. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, it says. Now, first of all, I want you to notice things that are going on, the call and the response, the communication and the response. Some people say, oh, I feel like God's trying to tell me something. But they won't respond. Oh, I'm just going to sit and wait. That's not the fun of it. You want to have some fun sometimes. God called Abram. Abram wasn't allowed to see the promised land and all the land flowing with milk and honey until he went. God said, you go there and I'll show you. What's awesome about our journey with God is we don't know the end. We don't know what's going to happen along the way. We go in faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And God provides all along the way. And we realize, wow, I never would have gotten to here if God wouldn't have been back there with me, you see. The response to God speaking to us is very important. There was the call and the response. The second time, Young's literal translation says, the Lord added to call again. God persisted in speaking to Samuel and said, Samuel. Well, he went to Eli. They didn't understand what was going on. And that's okay. It takes a little bit sometimes. It says Samuel didn't know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. In other words, he had not been fully taught the laws of the prophets, the songs, the psalms, and all those. He was still young at it in his time there. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, here I am. Eli then realized the Lord's calling Samuel. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. Now listen to this. This is the important part. Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, speak, Lord, for your... He says, he told Samuel to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in this place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, the fourth time now, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now let's talk about that a little bit. Speak, respond, speak, respond, speak, respond. I tell people, if you ever feel like the Lord's speaking to you, talk back to him. You don't need all this churchy language to know all the big, deep theological words. God's above all that. Speak to him. God, is that you? God, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what you're doing, but I really would like to know. Help me out here, God. He understands our languages. He understands our hearts. In fact, he knows before he even speaks. But the key is here that we respond in communication to the Lord when something's going on in our life and we feel God might be trying to communicate with us. Talk back. Speak back, but speak back with a servant's heart. Look what he said. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That word servant in the old ancient text means bondsman, bondman, boughten. I'm yours, you own me, Lord. Speak, your servant is listening. I'm ready to do what you want to do. And that was the key for me. When I knelt on my knees, I said, Lord, let me know what it is you want me to do, and I'll give up my life and my business and everything to do it. Surrendering to the Lord. We may not like what the Lord says to us, but it's the surrendering to the Lord in those communications. We go to the Lord with our big long laundry list. Lord, here's what I want. Here's how I want it. Here's when I want it. And by the way, will you take care of that person over there? I don't like what they're doing. You know, we try and tell God. He's not trying to tell God what to do here. Just speak, Lord. I'm your servant. I'm your bondman. I'm ready. Whatever you tell me, I'm ready. And the Lord said to Samuel in a direct special revelation, I'm about to do something in Israel that's going to make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. And he revealed what God revealed what he was going to do to Eli and his sons and their line and their family because of what Eli and his sons had done. Next morning, Eli comes to Samuel, says, what did God tell you? Samuel could have said, well, nothing. He could have lied to him. But Samuel respected God and feared God more than he did Eli. Told Eli the truth, something that Eli probably didn't want to hear. But he told Eli, and Eli said, he's the Lord. Let him do what's good in his eyes. And it tells us the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, what Samuel said meant something. It had authority. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Now, wait a second. It was just telling me in those days the word of the Lord was rare and there weren't many visions. Now, because of all this, the Lord's appearing at Shiloh and revealing himself to Samuel through his word. Samuel was growing in his relationship to God. What happened in this part of the story reveals to us that God's always revealing himself to us. He initiates the conversations, but we have a responsibility to respond in total surrender. You see, God has a great plan for us, for all of life, for all of humanity, for our earth. And that plan is to make things right again. It's called redemption. And that involves you and I. And it's important that we surrender our lives and our agendas, because when we do, we literally become the voice of God as he uses us to speak to others. Hannah surrendered Samuel to God. God used her faith to speak to everybody else around her. Eli, Hophni, Phinehas didn't surrender to her honor God, and they were removed, and boy, didn't that speak volumes. You see, in the way we live out our lives, the words we speak, we literally become the voice or the revelation of God to the world. That's awesome. That's awesome that God would choose you and I to do that. It's awesome. And we don't do it here. We do it out there. Some of the greatest ministry moments I've had in my ministry have been in the mud, sitting in the river at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's awesome that God has allowed us that great privilege to be the revelation to the world of his glory and his greatness and his power. Let's see. Samuel ministered before the Lord. He grew up in the presence of the Lord. He grew up in stature and favor with the Lord and with men. He ministered before the Lord under Eli. And finally, the Lord was with Samuel and let none of his words fall to the ground. He was recognized as a prophet, and the Lord continued to reveal himself to Samuel. Wow, that's cool. Maybe the reason we're not receiving any revelations from God, or so we think so, is because there's something that we've not surrendered. You ever stop to think about that? Maybe the reason we're not receiving any revelations is because we're not willing to surrender something, or perhaps we're not ready to accept what the Lord has to tell us. Huh. Or more so, maybe we don't recognize his voice because we're not in his word, which helps us identify him when he speaks. You know, the only way you can identify somebody when they speak to you over the phone is to recognize their voice. When they text you, you recognize that it's them texting because you know them. You've heard them before. I say to people, well, maybe the reason you don't hear God like I do, are you in your Bible? Okay. You say, how can you recognize somebody you don't know? As I said in the beginning, the Lord speaks, and thankfully so, and we could never give up listening for and to him. It takes some time. It takes some reading of his word. It takes prayer. It takes relationships with other spiritual people. Oh, God bless Ruth Diltz. Probably none of you here know her. Ruth was this lady in our church at Hughesville, knew me from the time I was born, and she was just this bubbly lady, outspoken, and I worked for her in landscaping for several years. And I'll never forget the day I stood in her driveway, knowing the Lord was calling me into pastoral ministry, already starting that process, knew I was going to be giving up my business. And I said to her, Ruth, the only thing I'm struggling with, I'm giving up my family, my customers that had become like family. I'm giving them up. And she looked at me and she said, yes, but remember, the disciples had to lay down their nets and follow Jesus. And I knew that wasn't Ruth. I knew that was the Lord speaking and the spokesperson that he chose at that moment. And what happened in all of this, from the time the man told me and revealed to me firsthand that I was going to be in ministry, everything meshed together. God's word that says he speaks in dreams and visions of the night. He speaks in the still small voice. And as God spoke and revealed things to me that had not yet happened, and they did happen. And as I continued to have that relationship with God and people spoke to me, and the first thing you know, within 3 years, I have a full-time appointment in the Methodist Church. That just doesn't happen, does it, Larry? I had no education, no formal education, you see. It's awesome, folks. It's awesome. Don't ever be afraid to say, I think the Lord's speaking to me, to explore it, to go on that journey. The only way you know a friend when they call you is to recognize their voice. That's because you spent time with them. When you read their text, you understand when they're emotional because you've been with them before and you saw how they acted at different times and in different situations. So when someone tells you that your friend said this or said that, the only way you know whether they're telling you the truth or not is that you know the friend and you know whether they're quoting the friend or not. No, I know my friend. I know my God, and he would never say that. You see? That's the key. The Lord speaks. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's always busy revealing himself to us. The question is, are we receptive to what he has to say? Are we willing to be his servant? Because hearing the Lord involves opening our heart, soul, mind, as well as our ears, and surrendering our wills to him, and not letting what we are told go in one side and out the other, but grasping it in our hearts and letting or living it out in our lives. That's the key here. We take this and we grasp it with our strongest strength and live it out in our lives. And only then will we understand when God says, go right, not left, go up, not down, go back, not forward. Stop and wait. Okay, now go. You know, it's sometimes our relationship with God is sort of like this divine red light, green light thing, or maybe a divine Simon Says. But oh my gosh, it is an awesome experience to have that relationship with a God who's personal and a God who is always speaking and a God who cares about us and guides us as we journey on our way to the eternal city and his eternal presence. Let's pray.